Okay, our question for the day. Name some things that wear out. Okay, so take a moment. Maybe you have a long list, but name some things that wear out. Talk about that for a moment. What wears out? Okay, I'm sure you're thinking of all kinds of things, from tires to shoes to shirts. Some of you might have thought about wearing out your welcome. And Eric?
I said patience.
You wear out of patience. Yeah, our patience wears out. And after dealing with COVID, I've discovered that I wear out. And so I don't think I'm going to wear out this morning, but we'll see what happens. But it's great to be back, and just want to thank you for all your prayers and everyone that filled in, picked up the pieces in different ways while I was out. Just so grateful. Brother Richard preaching a couple weeks ago, Brother Tony leading the service, Pastor D last week. And Pastor D's not worn out. He's in Texas at his nephew's wedding this weekend. And so he'll be coming back, and Brother Mac will be coming back from a family reunion. Our text this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 51. So Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 16. Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 16. Give you a moment to get there. Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 16. All right, Isaiah 51, beginning at verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. Awake, awake, clothe yourself with your strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days gone by, as in generations of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab to pieces, who pierced that monster through? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep? Who made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over? The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction? For where is the wrath of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God, who churns up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I, who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your word today. We thank you for being a God who speaks to us. And we pray that at this point you would open our ears to hear you, our hearts to receive you, and our minds that we might be obedient to you. Have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, let me just remind you, it's been a couple weeks since we've been in Isaiah, and so let me just go ahead and remind you of a little bit of context here. So Isaiah is speaking into his future. So all this is past for us, but for Isaiah, he is speaking into his future. How far into his future is he speaking? Somewhere around 150 years. So Isaiah is living about 700 years before Jesus. And he recognizes that his people, Israel, they've been sinful. And that God is going to bring judgment upon them. And that that judgment is going to take the form of the Babylonians coming and conquering Jerusalem and taking the people into captivity. And so Isaiah has announced this, that this is what's going to happen. But he also recognizes that God's not done yet. That even after judgment, God is not done with his people Israel yet. And so he speaks into the future about 150 years to those who are taken captive to Babylon. Okay, this group of people, they are known as the exiles. Okay, because they have been sent out of Jerusalem in exile to Babylon. The Babylonians conquered Jerusalem around 587 years before Jesus was born. And so when they conquered Jerusalem, they just devastated the place. And so they tore down the temple where they had worshiped God. They executed the king. And there was no longer a son of David on the throne. There was no longer a throne in Jerusalem. And they took the people captive and brought other people there so that they lost the promised land. So think about that for a moment. They lost the land that God had promised them. They lost the throne that had been promised them through David. They lost the temple where God had promised Solomon, my name will be there and I'll watch over that place. And so they lost so much. And many of them lost their lives. And those who didn't lose their lives but were taken into captivity to Babylon, they were struggling with losing their identity. Who are they? And what does it mean to be God's people? And was your God defeated? Did your God bail out on you? So struggling with all kinds of questions and wondering whether or not they would ever make it back to normal. Would they ever make it back to Jerusalem? Would the promises of God ever be kept? And so they're wrestling with this. And Isaiah can anticipate the wrestling by the power of the Spirit. And so God has given Isaiah a word for these people who are in Babylon, in captivity, and they're wondering, what happened? And the pain is devastating with so much loss. And Isaiah has been announcing to them a couple of things. One, he's been saying, God is going to rescue you from Babylon. That Babylon is not the final word. And God is going to work in a way that's really kind of beyond your expectation. No one can really see this coming, but God has given it to Isaiah to see it and proclaim it. God is going to raise up Cyrus, the king of Persia, to defeat the Babylonians. And under Cyrus, they're going to be able, the Jewish people are going to be able to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And so they need saved from Babylon. God is going to save them from Babylon. And how is God going to do it? He's going to raise up Cyrus, the king of Persia, and use Cyrus to save the Jewish people from Babylon so that they can go home to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and begin to live out their lives there, to worship the Lord once again in the promised land. But Isaiah also knows, and you recognize this too, I'm sure, that they need to be saved from more than just Babylon. Because the whole reason that they're in Babylon was because of their sinfulness, because of their stubbornness, because of their refusal to listen to God. And so in many ways, they weren't simply sent away from Jerusalem into Babylonian captivity. That God was actually kind of sending them away from God. that I'm exiling you. You might even go so far as to say, I'm divorcing you. I'm sending you away. I'm selling you. That I'm kind of done with you right now. And God is not done with them, but what God is showing them is what happens when you don't trust in the Lord. That when they make their trust in something else, when they think they know better than God knows, when they've hooked themselves up to other things besides God, as if those things can give them their future, God's at a point where God has to kind of teach them, hey, what you're trusting in, it doesn't offer you any future. And so God is sending them away. And so here comes the question. Will God save them? Not simply from Babylon. Will God save them from their sinful selves? See, that's where they really need the salvation. They don't just need to be brought back to Jerusalem. They need to be brought back to God. And they can't bring themselves back to God any more than they can bring themselves back to Jerusalem. They're fully dependent upon God doing something to kind of bring them home to God and restore the relationship and change their hearts. And Isaiah's been announcing that God is going to do this. That God is going to raise up a servant. That just as God raises Cyrus, king of Persia, so God is going to raise up a servant who is going to listen to God and who is going to follow through on all that God instructs so that there can be forgiveness of sin, so that there can be salvation, so that there can be redemption and restoration and a homecoming to God. And so Isaiah is anticipating all this, and he recognizes, yes, they know they're going to need to be saved from Babylon, but they're also going to need to be saved from their sinful selves. And he's been announcing to them that God's got this, that God's going to raise up Cyrus, and God's going to raise up the servant so that you can be saved. Now, our passage today, Isaiah is also anticipating that the people are getting, if I can say it this way, worn out from waiting. Worn out from like, God, when are you going to do it? God, we're tired of Babylon. And truth be told, they're getting tired of themselves finally. And so, God, when are you going to act? When's this going to come about? And so in the midst of their kind of feeling like God has forgotten them, in the midst of feeling like God doesn't know what they're going through, Isaiah's anticipated this through the Spirit. And the Lord is speaking words of encouragement through Isaiah today. And so look with me at the first section of the passage that we read. And it's like Israel is struggling to believe that God is really going to save them. They're struggling to believe that God is going to come through. It's almost like they're feeling like God's arm is too short to save them. That they are beyond God's reach. And Isaiah has been announcing that the Lord's arm is not too short to save. That through the servant, God is going to reach every one of you and to bring salvation. And so they're wrestling with this. They're struggling, feeling like God has forgotten them, that God has neglected them, that God's arm is too short. And Isaiah is announcing, God is giving him the word, my arm is not too short to reach you and to bring salvation. And so look with me at chapter 51. And the first thing I want to point out is this phrase, listen to me. So look with me at 51:1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Go down with me to verse 4. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. And then go down to verse 7. Hear me, or listen to me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your heart. So three times in this short passage, the Lord is telling the people, his people in Babylon, in captivity, listen to me. Listen to me. Okay? And they're identified as God's people. Okay, listen to me, you who are trying to do right. You who are seeking me, listen to me. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. You belong to me. Listen to me. And then that seventh verse. Listen to me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your heart, that I've put my law in your heart, so just listen to me. When I hear this emphasis on listen to me, my question is, well, who have they been listening to? What have they been listening to? And I almost hear the Lord saying, listen to me, stop listening to the Babylonians. The Babylonians are acting like you're going to be here forever. The Babylonians are acting like they're going to be here forever. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. Okay, and then I also imagine that not only is the implication don't listen to the Babylonians, but don't listen to the skeptics in your midst. Okay, no doubt that there were Jewish people who were taken captive to Babylon who kind of gave up on the Lord. And who said, you know, we're done. The Lord's never going to save us. We're going to go ahead and just make the best life we can make here in Babylon. We might even go worship the Babylonian gods, start eating Babylonian food, just kind of embrace Babylonian culture and kind of forget where we came from. Okay, very skeptical that the Lord would ever save them. Okay, and so here's the Lord saying, listen to me. Don't listen to the Babylonians. Don't listen to the skeptics who don't think I'm going to save. No, get your focus. Listen to me. And I imagine that they're hearing all kinds of voices, that they're filled with all kinds of anxiety and fear, that they have all kinds of doubts. And I think I hear the Lord saying, don't listen to your doubts, listen to me. Have you ever been there? Where it's like you hear so much stuff that you can hardly hear God. And you hear stuff from, I don't know, you hear stuff from the news, you hear stuff from social media, you hear stuff from up high, you hear stuff from down low, you have all kinds of doubts that are just kind of circulating in your mind, and it's like you can hardly hear for all the noise that you are hearing. And the Lord is just trying to pierce through all that and says, hey, listen to me. I know you're trying to do right. Listen to me. You're mine. Listen to me. I put my word in your heart. I've given you instruction. Listen to me. And so it's a powerful word. And to kind of just try to get them to kind of be still and to just begin to listen to the Lord and to quit listening to all the other stuff that's around them. Now look further. The Lord says, listen to me. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. So here they are in the midst of their situation, feeling like they're beyond God's reach, and they're hearing all this noise around them that would cause them to doubt the Lord. And the Lord's saying, listen to me, think for a moment, about where you came from. Think about Abraham and Sarah. You know their story. They were old and they were barren and they had no future. And God gave them a promise that I'm going to turn you into a great nation. And I'm going to multiply your offspring. And so if God could do that for Abraham and Sarah, your ancestors, know that God can restore you. That if God can take this old barren couple and bring a great people out of them, how much more can God restore you and bring you back to Jerusalem? And Jerusalem will once again become a place of singing, will once again become a place of joy. And look with me especially at verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. I cannot get away from the imagery of this city that is left deserted, torn down, burned, just rubble. And what's the promise? I'm going to transform it and make it like the Garden of Eden. That where there was desolation and destruction, God's saying, I'm going to change it and make it a garden. And it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. And there's going to be joy, and there's going to be thanksgiving, and there's going to be the sound of singing. No longer the sound of crying and weeping and grieving, but the sound of singing and celebrating what God has done. And so just stop and listen to me. Remember what I did and where I brought your people from, Abraham and Sarah. And so I'm going to bring you back and restore so that they're singing once again. Verse 4, our second, listen to me. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out for me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The Lord is saying here that, look, just listen to me. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, that justice is going to come. I'm going to bring justice through my strong right arm, through the servant. And I'm going to give instruction, and the nations are going to come. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 2. This has been a long time ago since we looked at Isaiah 2. But Isaiah 2 is part of the background here. Isaiah is confirming that God's still bringing this about. So look at chapter 2, verse 1. This is the word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Did you catch that? All nations, all peoples are going to come to Jerusalem. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so here in Isaiah 51, Isaiah is just kind of saying, the Lord is saying, listen to me. I am still bringing this about, and my righteousness, my salvation, it's on the way. And I'm going to do you right. I'm going to do Jerusalem right. I'm going to restore with salvation, and all the peoples will come and learn my ways, my design for how to live life. Even the islands, the ends of the earth, are looking to the Lord and waiting hopefully for his arm of salvation for the servant. Now look with me at verse 6. And in verse 6, you're going to see where the question comes from. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Remember the last time? Well, do you remember the story of Abraham? And God told Abraham to look up. Abraham was questioning God. Abraham was questioning whether God would ever keep the promise of giving him children. And so the Lord told Abraham, Abraham, look up and see the heavens and start counting the stars. So shall your offspring be. Well, here we have another look up. But this time it's not look up and count the stars. It's look up and realize that even the stars are going to wear out. I mean, I think of a falling star or a shooting star. You can just imagine looking up and realizing, wow, even the stars wear out. And then look at the earth. It's going to wear out. Everything wears out. Except what? God's saying, my salvation doesn't wear out. My righteousness is everlasting. That even if this earth, or when this earth passes and fades away and is worn out, God's going to keep doing us right. God's going to continue salvation. His salvation is everlasting. And so just listen to me. Everything will wear out, but not my salvation, not my righteousness. I'm going to accomplish it. It's forever. And then we get verse 7, our third, listen to me. Listen to me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. I've told you, I put it in you. You know what to do. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults, because they're going to wear out. For the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool. But my righteousness will last forever. My salvation through all generations. Again, the contrast. You have the word of God in your heart, and you have the mockery, the reproach, the insults of people around you. Who are you going to listen to? Why would you listen to them? Because they're going to wear out. They're temporary. They're going to pass. Listen to the word that God has instilled within you, because God's righteousness and salvation are from everlasting to everlasting, will not wear out. So again, I just have to stop and think, wow, who am I listening to? What am I listening to? And there's all kinds of voices that fill us with fear and fill us with doubts and fill us with gloom and doom. But we don't need to live in that fear. We don't need to live in those doubts. We don't need to live under those insults and lies. The word has been implanted within us through the work of God. And his promise is that my righteousness never ends, my righteousness never fails, my salvation is everlasting. And so we place our trust in the Lord, and we listen to the Lord, and we can live with assurance that, hey, the Lord has us. He will carry us through. Now, look with me at the next passage. We have a change of speaker. It's like the Lord has been speaking through Isaiah, giving them this assurance. And now what we have in verse 9 is like the people's response. And the people, it's almost like it's too good to be true. We want to see it, not just hear it. And so verse 9, the people are crying out, awake, awake, clothe yourself with strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days gone by, as in generations of old. The people feel like God has been asleep. Have you ever felt that way? Like God has been asleep and not keeping watch over you. And so here we've just had these promises from God and this assurance and, hey, listen up, listen to me. Don't pay attention to all that other stuff. The creation's gonna pass and those oppressors are gonna pass. Don't listen. My righteousness, my salvation's forever. Listen to me. And the people are saying, well, wake up, God, and do something. It reminds me of the time when the disciples are in the boat with Jesus and the storm comes up on the water and Jesus is asleep and the disciples are in a panic, not trusting. And they rouse Jesus up, like, don't you even care if we die, if we drown? Having no idea that Jesus has complete authority even over the wind and the waves. And he speaks and commands calmness and peace. Same type of thing here. They're begging God to wake up as if God's asleep. And they're saying, God, rouse yourself, clothe yourself, get dressed with your strength and your power. And they remind God of what God did in days gone by. How he defeated Pharaoh and brought them up out of Egypt and through the sea, victoriously giving them a new beginning, a new start. And like, God, wake up. And as you got us out of Egypt, get us out of Babylon. As you rescued us before, rescue us again. And this is a good sign, because now they are talking to the Lord instead of just listening to these other voices. And so make a note of that, that when you're hearing all these other voices creating doubt and anxiety and it's hard to hear, start talking to the Lord. And here they are talking to the Lord. Wake up, O God, rescue us. Bring us out of Babylon like you brought us out of Egypt. Verse 11, I think Isaiah kind of interjects here. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah is assuring them that God knows, that God hasn't forsaken them, and that God is going to restore them and bring them home, and their lives will be filled with joy. And gladness and joy will catch up with them. And the sorrow, the sighing, the grieving, it will leave. Verse 12, now the Lord starts speaking again. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mortal men, the sons of men who are of a grass, that you forget the Lord your maker? Are you catching God's question? God's, I'm answering you. And I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so why are you living in fear of people who are going to pass, who have no real power over you? Why live in fear of them? Listen to it again. I'm the one who comforts you. So who are you that you're going to live in fear of mortals who are temporary, just like grass? Who are you that you're going to forget me, the Lord, your maker? I'm the one who stretched out the heavens. I laid the foundations of the earth, not these people that you're listening to. So why are you living in constant terror of them every day? Why are you so worried about their wrath? Because they have no future. They can't make anything last forever. Verse 14, again, the assurance. The cowering prisoners, the bent down prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I am the Lord your God, who churns up the sea so that its waves roar. No one else has power over the sea. I'm the Lord your God. I can churn up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered with you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, and who say to Zion, you are my people. The Lord is the one who brings salvation. And the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And so I was like, why are you going to give in to the threats, the terror of those around you who are against you, who are trying to get you to doubt me, trying to get you to live in fear and terror of them? Why are you going to do that? Because they're temporary. That I'm your maker, I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth, I'm bringing my justice, my righteousness, my salvation. It will never end. It will be from everlasting to everlasting. So listen to me instead of them. The last verse, there's debate about who the Lord is speaking to. Some would say that the Lord is speaking here directly to the servant. I put my words in your mouth, servant, and covered you with the shadow of my hand. Others would say that the Lord is speaking to the people as a whole, that I put my words in your mouth, I've covered you with my hand, I set the heavens in place, you're my people. So I'm not sure the best way to understand that, but I do get it this way. It's a promise of the word. It's a promise of protection. It's an assurance of salvation. Listen to me and quit living in such distress that I've got you. I've got you, and my salvation, my righteousness, it will not wear out. Do you remember the passage that Isaiah opened the service with? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And Isaiah, can I have you come up here and read that one more time? Romans chapter 8. And he's going to pick it up at verse 35. Romans 8, 35 to 39, right there at the who.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?
Okay, stop right there. Did you catch that? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's all kinds of things that are out there that would try to get us to doubt that love. Try to get us to believe that God's love isn't strong enough for us to overcome this or to overcome that. And so Paul is asking the question, very much like Isaiah to his people, who can actually separate us from the love of Christ? Keep on going, Isaiah.
For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Yeah, so stop right there for a moment. We might face a lot of hardships. We might go through hard times. There might be oppressive voices and people trying to get us to doubt or to be skeptical about God's goodness. We may face persecution because of that. It might be very costly to serve the Lord. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Okay, keep on going. Right there, verse 38.
For I am convinced that neither death or nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So nothing Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, in the midst of the distress that we live in, and all the voices that would cause us to question God's righteousness, God's salvation, God's faithfulness, God's ability to save, all the voices that would tell us just give up on God. No. Don't listen to those voices. Rather, listen to the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And if anybody is trying to get you to think, but this will separate me, it's a lie. Listen to the Lord and His great love for us. So one more time, Isaiah, before you step down, verse 38, well, 37 through 39, one more time.
No, in all these writings, we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. And you may go sit down. So that's the good news of the day. That's powerful news. That God's righteousness, God's salvation does not wear out. His love does not wear out. Nothing can separate us from His love. And His righteousness, His salvation, it's forever in Christ Jesus the servant. And so we are invited to receive this love. We are invited to receive this salvation and to have God work in our lives to help us to know Him better and to allow this salvation to be worked out in us. And one of the ways that we do this, one of the ways that Jesus taught us to do this, is through taking communion. And in taking communion, the piece of bread, or in our case, the cracker, and the cup of juice, it represents His blood. And so we receive Him through these symbols of His body and His blood. And as we receive, we're inviting Jesus to enter into us and to make His love alive in us and to transform us through that love so that we have better hearing, that we listen to Him instead of the world, and that we live by His truth instead of the lies of the world. And so this morning, if you would like to have Jesus in your life and in your life more and more, then I invite you to receive communion. And I'll go ahead and pass it out. Vonda's going to come and play, and I think we're going to hear Waymaker once again. And once everybody's been served, then we'll take communion together.